This is the Broski and Moussan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
We have some serious business we want to get into here. This shooting of Dante Wright in Minnesota. And there's a lot of elements to this story, Christina. And I think maybe we can just kind of go down through them.
Yes.
Let's start with the headline. CNN headline. Police fire tear gas at protesters in a second night of demonstrations after Minnesota officer fatally shoots black man. What do you think of that headline?
I find it offensive because that black man has a name. His name is Dante Wright. And I, you know, to leave his name out of the headline and just to qualify him as a black man is offensive to me.
It's kind of the storyline we have these days, a white cop, black man. That's
right.
The storyline when it comes to anything to do with cops.
Never mind that the cop herself was a minority because she's a woman. So why doesn't that, I mean, if we're going to get into it, why don't we say after minority Minnesota officer fatally shoots black man? I mean, let's just
go all the way.
Go all the way with it.
You know, it's sad when anybody is killed, like George Floyd. This didn't have to happen. Nobody had to get shot. Nobody had to be killed. But there are extenuating circumstances we need to talk about here. On our promo, we mentioned about the dangling air freshener. This is a kind of a storyline that I think is being intentionally perpetuated because it's more like the storyline that some people want. You know, these minor infractions that black people are being harassed by the police. Apparently, Dante Wright, when he's pulled over, from what I can tell, you know, he was asked about his insurance and he called his mother.
Right.
So he was on the phone with his mother.
While all of this is happening.
Yeah. And he told his mother that it was about this dangling air freshener. So why he said that, I don't know. He'd been really pulled over for expired license plates.
Well, I can imagine why he said that to his mom, right? Okay. He doesn't want to get in trouble with her. He's still 21 years old. Still, you know, even though he's an adult, still a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for here? He's still a little bit of a juvenile in him.
Well,
you know?
Plus I think if you're telling somebody, you want your best story, right?
So yes.
It's like,
I'm not going to tell you about the tags that are expired. Well, it's because of the stuff dangling in the mirror, which is partially true.
Yeah. And, you know, that does become part of the story. But I think, you know, you say this because even if it's not your mother, can you believe I'm being pulled over for dangling air freshener in my car? I mean, that's, we might all do that.
It's a half truth.
Yeah. What happened was he was pulled over for expired license plate tags. Okay. And so during the course of all this, they notice he's got something dangling from his rearview mirror, which is this air freshener, it's illegal. Now, why is it illegal? Don't ask me. I guess it's maybe vision stuff, something like that. But if you don't want police to pull people over for these things, don't make laws, right? Now, somebody passed this law.
Or undo the law in your state.
My guess is, I didn't have time to research this. Maybe one of our Google researchers can go through this. My guess is something happened sometime, right, where something happened because somebody had something dangling from their mirror. And we know how legislators are. Anytime anything happens, they go pass a law. Something probably happened that had something to do with dangling air freshener, and somebody passed a law because that's what they do. They want to make sure they are perceived as the guys that are taking care of business.
Yeah. So my guess here is gets pulled over for expired tags, right? And the officer sees the dangling thing, probably says, could you take it down?
Yeah. We don't even really know exactly what happened there. Because in the course of all this, the officers discover he's got an outstanding warrant for his arrest.
Right.
Okay. So he's not arrested for the license plate tags. He's not arrested for dangling air freshener. He's arrested for the outstanding warrant because he was carrying a gun without a permit last June.
Now, I thought,
and ran from police at that time.
I thought in this country we had a really big focus on gun laws, right? And abuse of firearms. So carrying a gun without a permit, don't you think that would be something that everyone could agree on is not an okay thing and deserves a warrant out for someone's arrest and for somebody to be apprehended over.
And why is there a warrant? Because you didn't take care of it, right?
Right.
If you'd gone and take care of it, there wouldn't be a warrant. So
right.
Obviously we can't trust you to take care of it. So we pretty much have to arrest you. That's why when you have an outstanding warrant, you want to take care of it, because someday you're going to be pulled over for some infraction. They're going to discover you have a warrant and they're going to arrest you. And none of us really want that to happen. So we don't have outstanding warrants against us, because you know, if they ever have a reason to pull you over, they're going to arrest you.
Now, in the course of all of this, and of course, he's got mom on the phone, they ask him to put down the phone and to step out of the car, in which case he does not comply. Right. And he begins to then drive off at some point.
I think he actually did get out and then tries to get back in.
Okay.
Just to be technical, but in the end, it doesn't really matter, because at some point he resisted.
At some point he resisted arrest, and the cop goes calling for her taser, right? Pulls out what she believes to be as her taser from what we understand. And then instead, and this is another aspect of this, instead pulls out her gun and shoots him and kills him. There are a lot of questions this morning, John, about how somebody could mistake their gun for their taser.
Yeah, apparently this does happen. It's very rare, but they say it happens about once a year.
But okay. People are not buying this. It was a sheer accident excuse, because how could you mistake the two? How?
Well,
I'm not a cop. I don't know.
From what I'm reading about this is that they say when you carry a taser, they want you to carry it on the side of your body that's your offhand. Like if you're right-handed, carry the taser on your left side.
Right.
Carry your gun on your right hand, which is your good hand, right? This is standard practice. They say it was practiced there. But they say despite the fact that that's standard practice, in tense situations, on rare occasions, police do make this mistake. Now, you're saying people aren't buying this. If you listen to the audio of the incident, she legitimately sounds surprised.
Yes.
That she has used her gun. It's like, oh my, she said, oh, I think she used an expletive we can't
use. She did, yes.
She said, oh,
bleep.
I shot him. And the police chief released the video, which we can talk about a little bit too.
Well, and she's also screaming for her, you know, she's screaming, taser, 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 right?
Right. Yeah.
So the intent, I believe, is to get the taser. And then she shoots, fires the gun, and oh, bleep.
And the car,
I shot him.
By the way, takes off
for
a few blocks before it comes to a stop. And he's been killed. So there's all the controversy about that. So, number one, there is this storyline floating around, perpetuated by the Minnesota ACLU, that this was all about dangling air fresheners, which it wasn't. It was part of the story, to be totally honest, but it wasn't until after he was stopped because—and I'd say, look, you have all these stories about black people feel like they're pulled over for minor infractions. They're being harassed more than other people.
Sure.
You know, that's how the black community feels. You know, I don't know. I'll take their word for it. But I would just say, look— if you don't want people to be pulled over for minor infractions, let's just not make them illegal. Can we just not have people be pulled over for expired tags? Then none of us will have to buy them. You know, there's a reason we pull over people for expired tags, right? What would that reason be?
Well, we don't want you driving around without registration.
Money.
And if you can't get registration, you can't then get insurance, right?
But the state makes money.
The state makes money, but there are other things that come along with it too. It's not just about the state making money. If you don't have registration on your car, you don't have insurance on your car. God forbid you get in an accident. You hurt somebody, right?
I'd like to believe that's really what it's all about, Christine. But I think when it comes to Sacramento or other state capitals, they want their registration money.
There's truth to that.
Okay.
Now, I'm not all that gonna argue with that.
That other stuff you're saying is true, but I mean, the state, you know, if we don't enforce license plate tag laws, a lot of people aren't going to buy it, especially in California where it's like gone up double
for
your car registration.
We need that to pay for our roads
or
cap and trade, whichever one it is, I'm not sure. True.
So if you don't want officers, you know, they're blaming the officers for enforcing the laws that the lawmakers made. You know, both of those laws, even the dangling air freshener, is a law.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right?
It sounds stupid to me, but look at, if you're going to pass the law and you're going to have cops, tell them not to enforce it. Say, hey, we passed this law, but don't pay any attention to it. Poor guys, you know, they're just trying to enforce the law. Then they discover that he's got an outstanding warrant for his arrest for a gun violation. Now, couldn't you imagine if they had let him go and then something terrible had happened with him and a gun? The police would be blamed for letting him go, would they not?
Correct, yes.
How could they let him go? That's why we, you know, they pass all these, speaking of legislators who pass laws, every time we have any kind of shooting, they're rushing to their state capitals to pass laws about guns. So we have a law that you can't have a gun without a permit. And here they have a guy that had a gun without a permit. They cited him. He did not take care of business. He's got a warrant out for his arrest. So they're arresting him. Not about air freshener. About a gun. Okay, now, the accident with the taser, people can believe that or not believe it. It looks plausible to me. Does it look plausible to you?
It looks plausible to me, too. However, I'm not a police officer. I don't know what you are trained, you know, how you're trained to carry them and not trained to carry them, or if it's plausible that someone could mistake their gun for their taser, especially being a veteran of the police force, like 26 some odd years, right?
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of experience on the job. You're not some newbie that's fresh out of the academy. And so is that even plausible? You know, I think about how we had a very tragic fatal accident with two seasoned sheriff's deputies here in Fresno, where they're looking at a new gun and the gun fires off, right?
Right.
And that went to court. And people asked then, how could two seasoned professionals make such a fatal error? Right? I don't know. I that's not my profession, and I'm just not sure. So I don't know if this is plausible or not. People are definitely questioning it. From what I've read, as you said, you're supposed to keep the taser on the left side if you're right-handed, or on the right side if you're left-handed and your less dominant hand. And I'm not sure, because we'll get into this as well, I'm not sure where this officer kept her taser and gun, because when somebody called for due process and investigation, they got fired.
Yeah.
The city manager. So I'm just not certain.
Yeah. The city manager was being questioned about all this, and he was asked about what's going to happen. He said, well, we're going to have due process. We're going to investigate this. We're going to see what happened, and then we're going to deal with it. And he was shortly after that fired for saying that.
Right.
Not also, an acceptable answer.
Also, shortly after this happened, there was rioting and looting.
Yeah. Because.
Go figure.
I think part of the reason for that is this storyline about the dangling air freshener. You know, the storylines were being pulled over for no reason. He was shot because he had dangling air freshener. You know, that's why you need to have an investigation and clear all this muddled stuff up. City manager is exactly right. How can you fire somebody who says there should be due process? How do you fire that person?
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
He called me and he said, Mom, I've just been pulled over. I said, for what? He said, they said they pulled me over because I had air fresheners hanging in the rearview mirror. I said, okay, we'll take them down. The police officers came back up to the window and asked Dante to step out of the car. And Dante said, for what? Am I in trouble? And the officer said, we're going to explain that when you step out of the car. So, and they asked him to put the phone down. I don't know. I know my son was scared. He's afraid of the police. And I just seen and heard the fear in his voice, but I don't know why. And it should have never, ever escalated the way it did.
That's the voice of Katie Wright, the mother of Dante Wright. He's the 21-year-old man killed by police in a traffic stop. Officer, they say, was reaching for her stun gun, for a taser, but pulled out the gun instead. And a lot of people aren't buying that story. I don't know if it's plausible or not. This is what I know, John. Sometimes mistakes happen. We're all human.
That's why they call them mistakes. That's why they call them accidents. They do happen.
This is a really big mistake.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not denying that because somebody lost their life. The intent, they say, was not to shoot this young man, but instead to tase him.
Well, you know, she says that, you know, he was on the phone with her during this stop, from what I understand, because they were asking about insurance. And so he called his mom. I guess he didn't have his papers. Wanted to somehow figure that out. And while he's on the phone, this is what he told her about the hanging air freshener.
Right.
Okay,
I got pulled over for the hanging air freshener.
Now, she was interviewed by media people, and that's what she told them. And I think that's how this story got started. Minnesota ACLU comes out with a statement about black people being harassed about hanging air freshener. So this story has perpetuated itself, and nothing intentional on her part. It's just what she was told is what she told people. And that's how this story's out there. So now it's all about hanging air freshener, harassing black people, nothing about the warrant, about the gun without a permit. I mean, you really have to dig to find this stuff. We had to go through like 10 stories to try to find what this warrant was about, right? But, you know, when you have an outstanding warrant, guess what? Police generally arrest you because they figure you're not going to take care of it. So, you know, and then she mentions in her comments about he was afraid of the police. You know, this is a perpetuating cycle, I think. If you're going to be afraid of the police and it leads you to not do what they ask you to do, like get out of the car. Now, think about the police here. They discover you have these warrants for a gun violation, okay? So I'm thinking, this guy might have a gun. So I've got to get him out of the car and get him restrained before I tell him I'm going to arrest him, because then what's going to happen if I haven't got him? I mean, you're thinking like a cop, right?
Yeah.
So why do you want me out of the car? I'll tell you. You know, I can't tell you why
I
want you out of
the car. Talk about it when you get out of the car.
If I tell you why I want you out of the car, I'm not sure you don't have a gun. Right? So I need to get you out of the car, then we'll talk. And in the process of doing that and telling them he's under arrest for this warrant, he tries to get away. And what do almost all of these cases have in common, Christina?
Resisting arrest.
Almost every one. And then his mom says he's afraid of the police. Well, if you're afraid of the police, the worst thing you can do is that. You know, what we need, I don't care what color you are, when you get pulled over by the police, you need to comply with them. They have the guns, and you don't. Okay?
If you are wronged during the course of your encounter with a police officer, you take care of that later, right?
Next day in court, right?
Take care of it later.
Don't take care of it with the cops that day by resisting arrest. Even George Floyd. Resisting arrest is part of the story. Did he deserve to die? He didn't deserve to die either. And we know Derek Chauvin is accused of all kinds of terrible things with this knee on the neck. And I'm not excusing that, but all of that could have been avoided too if Chauvin had just complied with the police officers. And almost every one of the, remember the guy in Staten Island selling the Lucy's?
Yeah.
You know, the Lucy's were these cigarettes, individual cigarettes.
Single cigarettes.
So a cop comes up and is arresting him for this. Now, you may say, why are they harassing black people about selling cigarettes? Well, who made the darn law? If you don't want people to be arrested for selling individual cigarettes, who passed the law? And why are we blaming the police for enforcing the law? But almost all of these, and that, again, that was resisting arrest. And then he was the first I can't breathe. And that was sad. But almost every one of these cases has resisting arrest. Can we stop resisting arrest, please? This would change a lot of stuff.
490-5858, 490-5858. We see you there on the phones, and John, it looks like there's maybe a similar story that happened here in the Central Valley years ago. We've got some calls on that as well. So when we come back, we'll take your phone calls. 490-5858.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Body camera footage showed the police shooting death of Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. You can hear an officer shout, "Taser, taser," as officers struggled with Wright before she shoots him once with her service weapon. It seemed to Police Chief Tim Gannon to be a deadly mistake.
From what I've viewed and the officer's reaction and distress immediately after, that this was an accidental discharge.
The officer is now on administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation.
There you have it, that report from ABC. And you could hear the officer yelling, taser, taser, taser.
Right.
And then, oh, blank.
Right.
I shot him.
Right.
And the chief concluded from that himself that it looked to him like an accident, like she was thinking she was firing her taser, warning
yeah.
everybody. But instead, she had her gun. Now, some people aren't buying this. It's kind of hard to believe. But in our research this morning, we find it does happen. It happens rarely, but it does happen.
And it looks as if it may have happened here locally years ago. Steve, you're on KMJ. Good morning.
Hi, John and Christina. Yeah, it did happen a number of years ago. It was in the city of Madera, and it was a female police officer. Sound like the same thing, struggling in the back of the car. She reached for what she thought was her taser, but accidentally shot him with her service revolver. And the family settled for, you know, millions of dollars in that case.
It wasn't millions, actually. It was $775,000. It was actually, forgotten this story. Yes. The story happened in 2002, almost 20 years ago, October. And they settled, actually. It took nearly 10 years for them to settle because they settled in 2013. This case made its way all the way to the California State Supreme Court and got kicked back down to the appellate court. It was in and out of courts for nearly a decade before the city settled with this family for $775,000.
Do we know what happened to the officer?
Wow.
I do not know.
Do you know
it does
that,
not
Steve?
Say in the story what happened to the officer. But again, it was a story of they arrested him, a man apprehended in the back of the patrol car, being combative, kicking the doors and being really combative in the back. And as you mentioned, she thought that she had pulled her taser and instead pulled her weapon and shot and killed him. 24 years old was the, you know.
Do you know what happened to the officer, Steve?
I don't remember if she was fired or not, but I just remember that story from a long time ago.
Yeah. Good memory.
Like a mirror image.
Yeah, pretty close.
Pretty close.
Again, you know, and thank you, Steve. We, in looking this up about the taser versus gun thing, I found like 9 instances. They say it's about once a year something like this will happen, and it seems very unlikely, and it is very unlikely, but it does apparently happen occasionally. Ray, you're on KMJ.
Yeah, point I wanted to make was that in our society, everybody's complaining about this, but nobody's bringing up that, you know, police officers, they have a mandated role. They're paid to protect and serve. And basically, they're going to take control of a situation. And that's their job. So we as people that are, you know, in question or subject to that just need to comply and let them do their job. That's also the law, too. If we don't do that, then we are subject to possible deadly force. So if we, you know, train people just, you know, here's a policeman's job. Here's what we need to do as people that are being pulled over, rightly, wrongly, or whatever. We just need to behave and let them do their job. And actually, in my experience in life, more times than not, when you're nice, polite, and courteous, they'll cut you slack and let you go about your business.
No, I mean, I agree. I just don't know. You know, it's something going on with some people when they talk about they fear the police, and this fear of police leads to a lot of bad consequences.
Well, to flight.
Right? Yeah.
To flight from police. And it's kind of interesting because if you think, like, if I'm in fear of something, I just actually kind of, I think I would do what I'm being told to do in a situation like that. I'm just going to go with this and I'll figure it out later. But their instinct is to run.
Well, the thing is, and this is what, to me, part of this problem has to be straightened out, this whole storyline about the police and young black men. And police systematically racist, and they're out there to kill young black men. And there's not very many of these stories in reality, Christina. You know, we have them, and every time we have them, it's a big story. But imagine if you're a young kid in a black neighborhood growing up. the story you're hearing is the cops want to kill me. So there could, you know, you could legitimately be fearful anytime the police pull you over, but we need to change that storyline because I was just, remember we've done this before. How many cops are there in America? There's like 800,000 cops, something like that.
Yes.
Maybe less now because a lot of them are quitting and you can't hire anybody because nobody wants to do the job anymore. They have something like, I'm trying to remember the number of encounters there are every day, every year with a million, with 800,000 cops. I mean, there's a tremendous number of encounters between cops and people. I found out here there are 240 million 911 calls every year. There are 32 million traffic stops. And out of all of these, we have some terrible mistakes, some terrible incidents where people get killed. The fact of the matter is a lot more white people get killed than black people. These are apparently not newsworthy. All the stories involving black people are newsworthy, so it makes it look a lot bigger than it is. And again, I'm not trying to dismiss or excuse anybody here. They're terrible when they happen. But we are really blowing up the black deaths on this, and every time it happens, it's a huge story. There's more than twice as many white deaths by cops. More than twice as many every year. Apparently not newsworthy. You know, we don't make a big deal out of it. You know, cops kill people. They encounter you in bad situations. This is what I always try to tell people. You don't know what's on the cop's mind, okay? Like this kid, Dante Wright. Am I in trouble? You got to think a little bit like a cop. If he thinks you're a danger, you better just do what he says. Running, and what are you supposed to do with somebody when they run? You're just supposed to let them run? I mean, is that the answer?
Well, if you're a police officer in the state of California, I do think that that is the message that this state gives out to people.
In this community, we've had a couple of these high-speed accidents that have killed numerous people.
Right.
And in both cases, I think the last two I can remember, police stopped
the
chase.
Did not pursue.
They did not pursue. And there were wrecks anyway.
Correct.
It didn't even work. Hello, Rusty. You're on KMJ.
Hi. My thought on this is that her voice was saying, her brain was saying, taser, taser, taser. But her body defaulted to muscle memory, mm-hmm. which is drawing with her strong hand, because that's what she practices all the time. I mean, how many times do you think she practices drawing with her strong hand versus drawing with her weak hand and doing a change over to her strong?
You know, I don't know, but I suspect you're right.
Yeah.
That you're going to practice drawing that gun a lot more. You're going to practice drawing that taser. But I don't know.
An activist would probably say that it should be the reverse, right?
Maybe.
And maybe activist, and you know, this could be now, I think, Rusty, you've brought something up that could be part of this future discussion, which is that if you're trained to carry your weapon on your dominant hand side, and we're in this era of not drawing our weapons, less than lethal force, you probably then are going to now be told, or maybe you should be, for your own protection, carrying the taser on your right, on your dominant side, and the gun on your less dominant side.
I'd like to hear the police reaction to that.
Well, I mean, seriously, though, think about the world that we live in today. Think about the narrative that's going on. They don't want you to pull your gun. These activists would take away your gun if they could.
But if you're a cop,
they want you to use the taser or less than lethal.
But you want that gun to be available to protect yourself if you're a cop.
Understood. Right? However, I think the future part of this discussion is going to be, and you want to talk about future laws, is switching sides with that gun and taser and putting the taser on the dominant hand side and the gun on the less dominant hand side.
Yeah.
I do. I think that you just brought up what the future discussion is going to be here.
Yeah. Well, you know, also we have this whole part of the due process. City manager says it's going to be due process. He's fired. So now what's going to happen? You know, this cop has got to be charged with something, right? Just to appease the mob. He's got to be charged. And now you're going to prove what happened in court. This cop says, I made a mistake. I thought, can you prove that she didn't? How are you going to prove that?
Yeah, I don't know. But in another added layer to this is, you know, the rioting and looting that happens immediately after this begins. And, you know, you have to, who's living in fear here? Because if this is, if you're going to have rioting and looting immediately after a situation happens without any kind of due process, without any kind of explanation, who is really living in fear?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, what are you going to, can we at least wait until we have the investigation? People are rioting because they think about dangling, you know, air freshener. They don't even know what even happened here in reality because there's a storyline floating around out there that's not true, even true. And we're rioting, and then by the time we figure it out, you know, your store's gone, right? Dan, you're on KMJ.
Yeah, hi. I don't know much about the story, but the probable cause was the air freshener, right? Now,
no.
No.
What was it about? I mean, because when somebody said,
We're trying to explain that the air freshener is a false narrative here, okay? The car was pulled over for expired license plate tags.
Okay, why didn't the officers say that from the beginning and say, please come over here?
Well, that's maybe we should investigate and find out if he did, you know? I mean, we don't really know, do we?
You know, that's a part of the problem. Officers don't, if they would initially say what the problem
was. Well, how do you know he didn't? How do you know he didn't?
Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't like I say.
I'll tell you this.
I'll tell you this.
If an officer comes up to my car and says, I need you to step outside, I'm going to do that.
Yes.
Or am I, you know, we have this other case in Virginia, this military guy who was asked to step outside his car and he wouldn't do it. Okay. Now, would you, Dan, would you step outside or would you argue with him?
No, I would not. I'd step outside.
Exactly. I mean, that's the answer, right? Step outside the car.
He had a passenger in the car with him too. You know, to me, it's a discussion with my passenger of, I'm going to do what I'm told here. If anything should happen, like start rolling camera, right? Or you, but you comply too.
Yeah.
Okay. You listen, if something happens to me, you don't die on a sword for me, right? You comply too. We are both going to comply here. But also you can run the camera if you feel like running the camera. You feel like that's a safe thing for you to do. But, you know, like there's, as they're walking up to the car, I'm having a discussion with my passenger of, we're going to do what we're told here. And we're going to be each other's witnesses. We are going to, you know, we are going to be witnesses for each other. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, simple discussion. Let's have that discussion. I have never been pulled over, John, and not told what I was pulled over for. Typically, it's a, do you know that you have expired tags?
Yeah, and we don't know that didn't happen.
Here's the deal. He was looking for license and registration.
And insurance.
Right, and insurance. So he was gathering the information to give to the officer because he called his mom to tell mom, to ask mom, do you know where the insurance is?
Yeah, well, you know, this is something everybody should be ready for. I don't know about you, but I've got my registration, my insurance, and my license ready to go anytime.
If I have to guess, car may have been registered in mom's name. That's why he was calling. Maybe the lack of, the tags being expired was not on him. It was on mom, right? Maybe it was mom. This is why, again, due process. Please find out and investigate what was going on here. Then he gives the driver's license over. They may have run the driver's license, realized he's got a warrant out for his arrest. We're going to need for you to step out of the car.
For a gun violation,
I mean,
by
that's
the way.
Also a plausible narrative. I don't know that that's the narrative because why? When somebody asked for due process, they were fired.
Yeah. And so they get the feeling that we're going to have to file charges against this officer because if we don't, we're going to have another riot.
Again, the media could have asked mom to explain this story. Well, why did he call you? Why was he looking for the registration? Why was he? Nobody asked the follow-up questions. Why? Because they don't need the follow-up questions. It's playing into the narrative.
And, you know, and this whole resisting arrest aspect that we're talking about is barely in the story. You know, this is, to me, the biggest thing about these stories is resisting arrest. And it's got to be changed. It's kind of like resisting arrest is okay. What anybody else does is not okay. Resisting arrest is not okay. You just can't do it. You're just looking for trouble. Again, this young man did not need to die, did not deserve to die.
No.
But he resisted arrest and tried to drive away. and actually did end up driving away, even though he was shot.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Okay, we're talking about this police shooting in Minnesota. Let's get to the phones at 490-5858. Tom, you're on KMJ.
Hi, good morning. I'm just going to go over what procedure is on a traffic stop. The vehicle's going down the street and it shows expired reg. You're going to call it into dispatch. You're going to do it on your MDC, which is a mobile digital computer, and check the status of the reg. You're going to make your traffic stop. You're going to make contact with the driver. At that point, you're asking for driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance. And during that meantime, if you call it into your dispatch, you're going to get back to saying, yeah, current reg or expired 3 years ago, whatever. At that same time, you're going to contact dispatch, and you're going to get a DL check, driver's license check, and a warrant check, which should come back in a matter of 10, 15 seconds. They'll come back and say, yeah, that driver, valid driver's license. However, he has a felony warrant for his arrest for an FTA, a failure to appear, which I believe is what this black kid had. At that point, you're going to be taking him out of the car, and that's when you're going to be actually taking him in custody for that failure to appear on the previous arrest that he had.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what happened here. They found the warrant.
Exactly.
He didn't appear. Yeah. So when people don't appear, what do? You got to arrest him, right?
Well, yeah.
Because he's not going to appear.
Well, most places, yeah.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Discussing the shooting of Dante Wright by police in Minnesota. And this is another one, white cop, black man, and obviously big news. And we're just reviewing what actually happened here because the story isn't exactly coming out the way it happened in terms of the narrative that's out there. What happened was police were pulling over Dante Wright because his tags had expired on his car. During the course of this, he was on the phone with his mother, and he told her that he was pulled over because he had some air freshener dangling from the rearview mirror. What actually was kind of evolving as part of the story, because that's also illegal.
Correct.
And the police noticed this during the course of the confrontation, I guess you'd call it. But they also discovered that he had a warrant out for his arrest. He had not appeared in court for a gun violation. He was carrying a gun without a permit last June and ran from the police at that point. So they were going to arrest him, but they, I guess, didn't want to tell him that until they got him out of the car. They asked him to get out of the car, which he did. But when they told him they were going to arrest him, he tried to get back in the car, which he actually succeeded in doing and actually managed to drive away. But before he could, he got shot because the officer who thought she was firing her taser was actually firing her gun.
So I'm looking at this. Somebody asked the question online of why would you, you know, why can't you hang stuff from your mirror?
I don't know.
And the answer is because it causes an obstruction that could, you know, get in the way of you seeing oncoming traffic and it gets in your way. It seems a bit silly to me.
Yeah.
This don't have things hanging from your mirror. And in fact, in one of the stories that we had this morning, it said it talked about how most people that get pulled over for something like this are people that are handicapped because they forget to take their sign down off of their mirror.
And it's illegal.
And I think to myself, you're going to pull over a handicapped person for putting their handicap placard? And I mean, this, it sounds a bit ridiculous, which would feed into the narrative of somebody gets shot and killed for being pulled over for something dangling from their mirror.
Yeah. And that's kind of the storyline.
That's a storyline, but that's not the actual storyline.
It's not what happened.
Because what happened here, as you said, somebody gets pulled over for the tags. They notice the thing dangling from the mirror. Then they run his driver's license. He's got a warrant out for his arrest. So there are more serious things here. The mirror aspect is one part of the story, but it's not the main part of
it's
the story.
Not even hardly a small part of the story. He never would have been pulled over if that was all there was. He got pulled over for expired tags. Now, if you don't want people to be pulled over for expired tags, why don't you go up and try to change the law? Because I think the people in Sacramento will say, we're not going to change that law because we make too much money on people paying for new tags. And we all do it because if you don't do it, you're going to get pulled over, you know, and get a ticket. So there's just so many parts to this story. Dan here says we've missed a couple of things here. Great. Dan, you're on KMJ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I just want to mention a couple of things. First of all, I noticed in the video how the police officers were interacting with the young man and trying to arrest him. The officer who tried to put the handcuffs on fumbled around three different times, and somebody else reached in, and that's when the young man broke free. It's just everything is escalated to a point of panic on everybody's part. My wife and I and my good friends are in law enforcement, and our whole thing, I was a teacher for 40 years. I learned that the best thing to do is not confront people, always let them have a way out, be polite and courteous, and work through things rather than escalate to the point of violence and struggling and everything else that was going on. I just think that the police officers today need to learn to de-escalate. As much as it's wrong to resist arrest, it's also wrong to escalate situations to the point where everybody's confronted and everybody's desperate. And I'm afraid that's what we're leading to. That's what's going on, and nobody talks about that.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think, again, can we wait until we have some kind of investigation and go through all these things before we decide to riot and burn places and, you know, loot?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're right, I have no fear of the truth. You know, I want the truth, but nobody wants to wait for the truth.
Yeah, everybody's in a hurry and a rush.
Yeah, we got to know right now because a black man was shot by a white cop, and that's about all I need to know. Well, there was maybe a lot of wrong all over the place here. I'm not sure, but I can wait for some kind of investigation. Apparently, the city can't because they fired the city manager who advocated for due process.
Yes, that seems very strange.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, I don't know. You know, you saw what you saw, and there's probably a lot of fault to go around here. I know this. If you're fumbling around trying to handcuff me, that doesn't mean that the signal to me is to run.
Yes.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that
it? They could have just explained to the young man that they're going to arrest him. They're going to take him downtown. He'll probably be out of custody in an hour or two. Just calm him down. Calm everybody down. It's not the end of the world to get arrested.
Yeah, and maybe they did do a little of that. I don't know. Again, but I can wait to find out. Let's investigate. Let's see who actually did what here. Let's see if this woman cop, if her story makes sense about the taser instead of the gun. There's some questions that need to be answered here, but nobody wants to wait for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Dan, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello, Joe. You're on KMJ.
Oh, me, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I was raised in Fresno all my life, and when I did get pulled over, I noticed that the police officer, when they come towards your car, they're aggressive. But once I start to speak to them really cool and calm, they calm down, and they ask for my license. I give them the license. They go back to the car. They don't even ask for my insurance. They come back, and they ask. They tell me, well, you know, you're cool, Joe. I pulled you over because of this. And then they try to explain to me what their job is. And I stop them and I tell them, hey, I know what your job is. You're doing your job. You pulled me over because you thought that there was something wrong or my tags or whatever. That's all you did. I know what your job is. I respect that. And they calm down really cool. And they say, well, thank you, Joe. And then they want to give me their card in case I have any complaints. And I tell them, I'll keep it. I don't need it. You did your job, and I'm grateful for it. That's all there is to it. And he says, well, they insist on giving me the card. And I notice that they're surprised when I talk to them in a respectful manner, because they're police officers. I know what their job is, and it's at night.
Hey, Joe, you are doing it right. You know, you are doing it right. But I think, you know, this is what I think happens to most cops. You know, when you get pulled over, what are you thinking? You don't like
it. Why me?
You don't like it, right?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you're thinking about all those other cars out there that are doing worse things than I am. Why did you pull me? That's your mindset, right?
You're actually probably thinking things that we can't say on the air.
But, Joe, I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. I don't think most people are upset when they get pulled over.
Well,
I think.
But they're not, I don't, are they upset with the cop or are they upset with themselves? To me, it's like with themselves, more of, it's like Joe says, I know what I was doing, right? You're doing your job. I got caught. I wish you would have caught the other person, not me, but I got caught. And you're probably more upset with yourself than you are with them. I always joke about this because it's been a long time, knock on wood, because I don't look forward to get pulled over anytime soon since I've been pulled over. But when I talk to people, my friends or family members that have been pulled over, they all say this. Gosh, that officer, they were so nice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they gave you a ticket. They're not that nice.
Well, the,
right?
You know, but, the best thing you can do is be nice. My point is, I don't know how many people really are. You know, Joe, God bless you.
I don't know either.
I think you're doing it right.
Yes.
That's the way we should treat police. And that's my point. Don't resist. You know, people don't know what the cop is up to. You know, you get pulled over, you think you know. You know, okay, I know I was speeding, but look at all these other people. They were speeding too. Why'd he pull me over? That's what's going through your mind. You don't know. Maybe there's a all points bulletin out for a car that looks like yours. Maybe he's checking you out. There might be some kind of child abduction. You know, who knows what the cop's thinking? That's what I always think. What is the cop up to? Don't assume I know. Don't assume I think that I know what he's doing. Just get your hands where they can see him. Don't do anything that's going to give make anybody nervous. I'm like you, Joe. Be nice. I try to be. I know what's going through my head. This SOB, you know.
Right.
Right. That's what's going
Please
through your head.
Don't make me bleep
you. Don't let me say what I'm thinking. Okay? So I don't know how people really treat cops. We have some cops out there. You can tell us. When you pull people over, are they all really nice? You know, my perception is if you're a young, good-looking woman, you can get off, but I can't.
Yeah, I didn't when I was a young, good-looking woman. I don't know what that says about me. But I'm just thinking to myself, you know, you catch more bees with honey than vinegar, right? And that's just kind of my motto.
Mine was
when
flies,
I'm,
not bees.
When I'm in a whatever it is. But when I'm in a situation, I just do my best to be nice, put a smile on my face, and be nice. Yeah. Because I know that getting angry isn't going to get me anywhere.
And the, you know, number one goal is make it to tomorrow. Okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And if there's something goes wrong here and you're upset, make it to tomorrow.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
We are talking about this discourse in Minnesota once again, rioting and violence in the streets. As a 21-year-old man is killed by a police officer during a traffic stop. The police department says it was a sheer accident. The officer meant to pull her taser and instead pulled her gun, didn't realize, and shot and killed the 21-year-old man with a passenger inside. All right, we're taking calls at 490-5858. Mike, you're on KMJ.
Hi. First of all, I'd just like to say in regards to everything that's happening right now, I just, you know, that's all unfortunate and stuff. It's very unfortunate what's going on right now. In regards to the thing dangling from the rearview mirror and stuff, I've actually been pulled over twice for that and a while ago, I mean years ago and stuff. And I mean, what was dangling was a little necklace chain, which was like the size of a kite string and, you know, with a little Nike check. And I got pulled over twice, pretty much in the same area by two different highway patrols. And the first time they pulled me over, they checked my license and everything. And they said, oh, well, the reason I pulled you over, even though they were coming from the other direction, was you had something dangling from a rear mirror and stuff. And then the second time they go, oh, we thought something was wrong with your tags, but I see you got something dangling from your mirror. You shouldn't have that there. And something I kind of learned from that and kind of understood, I mean, it's against the law, which has been in the books, you know, and stuff. And then we have, you know, those people with tinted windows and all the other stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things that we do that we think is okay, but it's actually against the law that a lot of people don't get pulled over for. And it's all probable cause kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, right.
If you, I mean, it's always, they have something, I mean, whether it be your windows or something dangling from there, they could, you know, check you out because of that.
Yeah.
It's something real simple, but it's probable cause.
Did you get ticketed for that or just warned?
Just warned. I never got a ticket.
I wonder what the fine is.
We're looking for something. Excuse me?
Do you ever find out what the fine was for something like that?
I've never had it, no.
I'm going to check it out. I wonder how much the fine is.
For it, yeah.
I did get pulled over once for the tinted windows. You know, I bought a car from a dealer.
Okay, I've heard this story before from other people. Go ahead.
I bought a car from a dealer. It was not used, Christina, pre-owned.
Okay, pre-owned.
It was pre-owned.
Yes. Certified. It was certified.
It was a pre-owned car.
It's pre-owned
but
certified.
But the front driver and passenger windows were tinted, which is illegal. But I didn't know, and I bought it from a dealer. And I got pulled over, and I got a warning ticket, a correction thing, right?
Right.
But they can. They'll pull you over for that. And,
yes.
And it's like he said, probable cause for whatever. I did not run. I did not, you know, give anybody any trouble. But I didn't even know it was against the law. I bought the car legally.
I do understand the tinted windows thing, because they want to be able to see and shine their lights into your car, especially at night.
No, I get it, but I just didn't know.
I get that, because you bought it from a dealer and you're thinking it's on the
up
and up.
Should be legal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kelly, you're on KMJ.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I just wanted to address something. One of your callers said that when officers approach vehicles, they're agitated. And my background is 30 years in law enforcement in the Bay Area. I was a dispatcher. When an officer walks up to a car, he or she has no idea who is in that vehicle. The driver knows who is walking up on them, but they don't know if they've got somebody who's got a gun, warrants, hates them. They have no clue. Car stops, traffic stops, and domestic violence are the two most dangerous things that an officer does in the course of their day. So they're alert. They may be agitated or whatever because they're people, but they're alert. Also, when the dispatcher runs the plate, it may come back with a wanted person. It might be stolen. There might be some sort of indication why that officer should be a little bit agitated. The other thing, for the probable cause, remember that CHP, their job is traffic enforcement and accidents. That's it. So if you get pulled over for something, that's the reason why. It's that probable cause, the thing hanging from the rear view, the expired tags. It gives them a reason to stop you. Also, one more thing before I go. There is not a vehicle that can roll off the assembly line that will pass California's vehicle code. If you've ever seen it, it's thousands of pages long, has thousands of violations. Not one brand new car, even, will pass that thing. So every car on the road has probable cause in some way, shape, or form.
Hey, let me ask you one more thing, Kelly. Like, if when the dispatcher says there's a warrant for their arrest, is that automatic? You're going to arrest them?
No, you have to identify them. So
if it's them, if they've got a warrant for their arrest and it's them, are they going to get arrested?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're looking at police officers or a cross section of society. You have those who see gray and you have those who see absolutely black and white.
Barney
it depends
Fines.
On what the warrant's for, how much it's for, because in Santa Clara County, where I was, if it was under 5,000, they wouldn't arrest you. They'd cite and release. And then expect you to show up at court, which is redundant because you haven't showed up at court.
If you already haven't showed up, I thought you just have to arrest him. Yeah.
Right. No, it's not failure to appear. You get the warrant. You could also get a bench warrant. But it depends on the county. And, you know, the DA is completely separate from the police department. But they give the decrees. The officers follow the duty manual. So if it says you don't arrest on a warrant worth $5,000 or less, you cite them out. That's
all right.
Just the way they do it.
Okay.
Because they have too many people in the jails and too much going through the court.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Hello, Susan. You're on KMJ.
Yes. You've brought out such great deals about protocol and working with police. How come this isn't taught in schools? You know, we used to, years ago, police would come in, we'd be in an assembly, and they'd come in and where they could explain their situation. they're wary coming up to cars. They don't know what's going to happen, and this is the best thing for you to do. And if you run, if you resist, bad things are going to happen. Or why aren't the teachers telling them this?
Well, you know, Susan, think about where we are right now. Mm-hmm. We are not talking about office. I think it's a great idea, having police come and get to know kids. What are we debating? But we're debating whether we can have police on school campuses to protect the kids.
Yeah,
that's our debate.
But here's the other thing is whose responsibility is that? Is it the teacher's responsibility?
No, absolutely.
Is it the parents' responsibility? What about even the police officers' unions? Maybe this is something that they should consider is a PR campaign. We talk about this all the time because perception is reality. A PR campaign for themselves. This might be something they want to consider.
No, I think it's a great idea because the narrative is that the police are the bad guys. They're the danger.
Yeah.
This is, they're what they want to shoot you. You know, and that's not the case. You know, very few of these cases over the years. It looks like a lot because we always add them up every time. You have to go back over every one that's ever happened. I mean, you can count these on two hands over the last 10 years. It's rare that these terrible things happen. When they happen, they're terrible. But the narrative is overblown for the reality. Cops are basically good people doing good work. 99.9999% of them are doing a great job.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Some breaking news here, Christina. This woman officer who is the one that mistakenly shot Dante is resigning. You know, she pulled out her taser, thought she had her taser, but instead she had her gun. She says she killed him accidentally, and now she has resigned.
Well, I would have to imagine that if you meant to pull out your taser and you pulled out your gun and you shot and killed someone, that's pretty a traumatic event in your own life.
Well, you know, they say what people don't think about is because this whole line of these cops just want to go out and kill people, it is very traumatic. From what I hear, fortunately, I've never done it, but these police officers have to go through some things with their chaplain or therapy. When they kill somebody, it's a pretty traumatic experience.
Yeah, right.
And so, I don't want to make it seem like she got the worst of this, but she's going to be going through some stuff here.
Yes.
Personally. I mean, even when they say it's a totally righteous killing, when you do everything right, it is still traumatic. Imagine what she's going through. When she says it was a total accident, you killed a young man by accident. That's she's going to need some help here.
Right. We also have more breaking news. We see there on the phones. Just give us a minute here. We got some more breaking news coming in this morning. Is being announced via the podcast. Your Own Backyard, is announcing. This is the guy that follows the Kristen Smart story that Paul Flores and his father, Ruben Flores, have been arrested in connection with the disappearance of Cal Poly student Kristen Smart back in 1996. If you remember, she was, I think, declared deceased in 2002. So once again, they're going to hold a press conference this afternoon at 2 p.m. As far as I know, up until this point, her remains have never been found, but Paul Flores and his father, Ruben Flores, have both been arrested in connection with her disappearance.
And you might remember it was recently that they were at that house looking for whatever.
Again.
Yeah.
So this was the second time that they had searched that yard.
Well, Paul Flores, as I recall, was the last one known to have seen Kristen Smart alive. He was with her that night. And so he's always been kind of this
person of interest.
Person of interest. And so, and it has been suspected, by some, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, that maybe the body was in that backyard of his house and the parents have always lived there. And they were there a couple of weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Looking in the backyard, and we never really found out what they were looking for, but maybe they found something. I don't know.
This is coming from the podcaster, Chris Lambert, who is the creator of a podcast called Your Own Backyard. He's been following this story for years. So, again, also another little bit of breaking news this morning. You heard it all morning long on the KMJ Morning News as well with Matt and Tony, that the FDA and the CDC have announced that they are calling for an immediate pause to the use of the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine after discovering 6 cases in the United States of a rare and very severe type of blood clot that developed about 2 weeks after the vaccine was administered. What's interesting about this, John, there's 6 cases here in the United States, 4 cases in Europe, 1 fatality in Europe related to these blood clots. All of these cases in women between the ages of 18 years old and 48, no men, women. So they're thinking it could have something to do maybe with birth control. They're looking into it. They're not really saying that, though, because they really don't know. And also Johnson & Johnson, Europe as well, halting the administering of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So they're saying people who have received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine who develop severe headache, abdominal pain, leg pain, shortness of breath within 3 weeks of the vaccination should contact their healthcare provider immediately. Again, women ages 18 to 48.
Have we been given that here, Johnson & Johnson? Has that been part of the deal here?
Yes, it has been a part of the deal here. And in fact, Governor Newsom receiving his Johnson & Johnson vaccine just last week.
Okay.
So, yes, we are administering the J&J shot. It's not as popular here as Pfizer and Moderna. Looks like everything, by the way, with Pfizer and Moderna still going well.
Yeah. Well, they ask people, why are people resistant? You know, it's because you keep getting stories like this, right?
Yeah.
All righty. 490-5858, back to our story about Minnesota. Obi, you're on KMJ.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It's unfortunate that the young man was shot, but the real issue here is not the details of what happened. Things like this have been happening for years to blacks, whites, Hispanics, to all people. And it was dealt with by police departments and investigated and dealt with by the courts if necessary. But it didn't rise to the level of public attention. The real issue is that now you have a bunch of white Democrat politicians and activists that seize upon these incidents and turn them into causes. And then some blacks, unfortunately, use that as an excuse to loot and pillage. So that is the incident. I mean, that is the issue.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Well, we have some more breaking news here, don't we?
Yes, we do. The police chief of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, has resigned.
I don't have any prepared statements. I'm just trying to step forward and fill a leadership role right now. I understand.
That's why I said I don't like asking how you feel, so that's what it is.
Sure, yeah. You know, it's very chaotic right now. Yeah, I was just informed less than a half hour ago or an hour ago about the change in status. There's just a lot of chaos going on right now. We're just trying to wrap our heads around the situation and try and create some calm, right? And that can kind of transition into we'd like some calm for the community, just some pause and community calming. As we try and wrap our heads around the entire situation.
Mayor, I have a question for you. Let me just say the acting chief here has spent a lot of time working in the community, working with the community. He's someone who knows.
This is Mike Elliott, the mayor.
Has probably, I would say, more than any other person in the department, has a very strong commitment to working directly with the community to help resolve issues. He's done that throughout his career. That is why he is the right person to step forward and take on this role at this time.
And Mayor, let me ask, since Officer Potter was allowed to resign...
He's talking about the police chief resigned, and whoever is stepping up is the right person, whoever that is.
You know, right. I do not have the answer to that. I do not
know
that.
The guy that was talking, I don't know his name, though.
Are you prepared to speak to that?
No, I can't. I don't know.
Okay.
The situation and her.
It sounds like they're in chaos.
So that's
it sounds
that's,
like
information
total
we
chaos.
Can get back
about
to you
30 minutes ago, the police chief of Brooklyn Center resigned as well. The officer involved in this has also resigned. And all this happening about 30 minutes ago. And these two people look like deer in headlights to me. The mayor and this now interim chief.
It sounds like maybe they think by resigning they will help
calm
this. And I don't think. You know, the chief resigning, I guess he would maybe be thinking this because it's under my watch. I've got to take the heat for this. So if I resign, maybe that'll help. I don't know if that'll help or not. But, you know, we already had the city manager who said there would be due process, and he was fired. And you kind of wonder if that had anything to do with the officer resigning,
right,
which might have something to do with the chief. I mean, if you're the police chief and the city manager says there is going to be due process and they're fired, do you want to be police chief in that
no.
place?
No, not at all.
Let's see what the mayor has got. His anything else
deserves here. That. And, you know, I'm appreciative of the officer, you know, stepping down and saying that, you know, she felt that was the right thing to do, for the community. And, you know, I couldn't agree more.
Did the city ask her to resign?
We did not ask her to resign. That was a decision she made.
When did she make this decision, and did she get wind that you were planning to terminate her?
I do not know if she got wind of an impending termination or not. I believe informed the city this morning at approximately 9:56 this morning. At 9:56 a.m. this morning.
Mayor, what kind of message are you hoping these personnel changes send to the community, especially specifically the police chief?
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, we want to send the message to the community that we're taking the situation very seriously. Although things did not unfold the way we thought ultimately they should unfold, we're hoping that we're turning over a new leaf now. I'm confident in that. I think that, you know, we're going to develop an approach that is community-based.
That's the mayor, Mike Elliott, I think his name was. And, you know, what message are you getting, Christina? This sounds
well,
like...
Well, he just said it there at the end. Community-based policing is... Yeah. I mean, they were going to fire her. And
she got wind of it.
She got wind of it and resigned.
Then the chief resigned.
Then the chief.
Yesterday, the city manager said there'll be due process, and he got fired. This place is crazy.
This place is in chaos. It's spiraling out of control. And you heard the now interim chief kind of step up and say, "You know, I just kind of got this job 30 minutes ago, and we're just kind of trying to stop the bleeding here."
Yeah.
You know, essentially, I mean, no pun intended.
Yeah, he said, I have no prepared statement because I don't even know what's going on here yet, sounds like, right?
Right.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Once again, that breaking news coming in out of Minnesota, the police chief of the Brooklyn Center Police Department and the officer involved in that traffic stop and shooting on Sunday that killed a 21-year-old man have both resigned.
And the city manager has been fired.
And the city manager has been fired for asking for due process. It sounds like everybody was going to get fired and they resigned before they could fire them. During the break, the mayor of Brooklyn Center, Massachusetts, but that's not the case. Minnesota, thank you. Says, you know, I'm the person in charge here. But yet he has no answers to anything the media is asking him.
But he says he's in charge. Now they have an interim city manager because they fired the other city manager because he wanted due process. So the interim city manager, who apparently didn't have any problem with that, is now in charge of the day-to-day operation of the police department, which is now being headed by an interim police chief because the police chief resigned, right? I mean, and then
it
now we find
like
out they had a thin blue line flag flying at the police station, and now they have taken it down because it has inflamed the community because it's a symbol of white supremacy, not a symbol of the thin blue line protecting us from the bad guys.
Got it. All right, 490-5858. James, you're on KMJ.
Hi, how are you doing?
Not bad.
Yeah, I'm calling in regards to the caller he had, a dispatcher.
Yeah.
Reasons for car stops and stuff, and every vehicle has probable cause for a stop. And I've been a police officer for 27 years, a sergeant for 7, and waving at a stitch with Homeland Security. Traffic enforcement was my major job. One of my last traffic details was doing enforcement on commercial transportation vehicles, the buses and Ubers and stuff like that. But anyhow, when vehicles are sold new, they all have to meet the requirements of the vehicle code and also from the Department of Transportation. And all vehicles are sold to meet those requirements. Now, when it comes to used vehicles, that's a completely different animal altogether. When the new vehicles are sold, you won't find the illegal tinting or things of that nature.
I did.
You have to go.
I found illegal tinting on my pre-owned vehicle bought from a dealer.
Right, but you just said that, pre-owned.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not new.
He's saying when it's new,
yeah,
comes off
new.
The assembly line.
Yeah.
Now, there has been cases where the new vehicle owners, dealers, will modify the vehicles prior to selling, but it does not come from the franchise like that.
Yeah.
They all have to go through situations. The California Vehicle Code, she was right, is very, very thick, but it's only like about a quarter of that has to pertain to mechanical operations of the vehicle. The rest of it has to do with moving violations and also the administrations of the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Did you know about this law hanging stuff from your mirror?
Yes. A while back, the state Supreme Court made a ruling on that. It had to go with cracking on a windshield. And basically, they kind of threw it out. If there's a simple crack in the windshield or something small dangling, it doesn't interfere with the movement of the drivers of the vehicle.
Because I see people, people hang from their mirrors nowadays?
Dice?
Masks.
Masks, yes, that's true.
I've seen everything.
Is that illegal? Is it illegal to hang your mask from your rearview mirror?
It depends on how much it obstructs the driver's view.
Okay.
Some courts have gone around with the Supreme Court and just saying altogether that it's hanging.
Would you pull somebody over for that?
You know, I have the fuzzy dice ones. They're just so long. And when you get the big, when you see some people, they'll put those air fresheners on, the pine tree ones, and they'll put like 3 or 4 of them on. They'll do that. But when I see something like the graduation tassels, stuff like that, no. It's obviously, it doesn't obstruct their view.
Yeah.
But
But my point is, you know, I don't want to blame the police for laws somebody else passes, right? If we don't want people to be pulled over for things hanging from their mirror, why don't we not have that law?
Well, because, like I was saying before, sometimes you'll have things so obnoxiously large. Or I remember once where I stopped a man who, and this law just passed about the crack. I mean, it's not the law, but the ruling. That is simple crack, you cannot, it doesn't fall within the guidelines of the vehicle code. Well, I stopped a gentleman who had his whole windshield was smashed and had a hole in it where he peered through the hole in the windshield. And he quoted that section when I wrote him a mechanical violation.